Okay, everybody, hello.
Hi.
I'm Cooper, and I want to give you a little background before we get started here. First off, we are recording this session for our own purposes. This is going to go up as a podcast on our website. We're not sure if we're going to get to Q&A, but if we do, we will be repeating your questions so they won't be on our feed, so you don't need to worry about privacy issues or anything like that. Our second caveat is we have a photographer, again, here for our own purposes. He will not be shooting anyone in the room. He'll just be photographing us. But as not all of us are to a place where we can be openly photographed and posted on various websites, we would request that nobody in the room photograph us, aside from the gentleman in the swing set t-shirt right here. So I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about who we are. We run Life on the Swing Set, the podcast and website. Since February of 2010, we've been doing this website based. It started out as a predominantly swinging website, and then over the years we've expanded to include all levels of non-monogamy and open sexuality, because I believe that open sexuality resources, and I think everyone in this room will agree, are so very important. This is our first time in the same space at the same time. We live all over the country, and we've been podcasting together via Skype since we've known each other. And so this is an incredible experience for us, has been being here at OpenSF and being together for the first time. We are all really more used to doing this in our jammies at home on Tuesday nights. So please forgive, amongst other things, my reading of the intro and outro here. I'm not making eye contact because I must read this, not because of anything you did. So please don't feel shame, especially if you were in Charlie's session with a, please don't feel shame about this.
Except for you, you can feel shame.
Now, for the full podcast experience, for those of you who have not yet listened to our podcast or maybe long for a simpler time when we were just voices in your head, feel free to close your eyes and lean back and smile and just let us give you the full 0D experience in your mind. Because the theater of your mind is so much better sometimes than what's actually in front of your faces.
We're sorry.
Yeah. If we're disillusioning you,
and we are imbibing up here, and this it was pointed out that we may be reinforcing a swinger stereotype up here. I am reinforcing. I am perfectly comfortable saying I'm reinforcing the stereotype that I am much, much funnier when I am drinking. Okay, so that is for you. It is not for me. So, with all the disclaimers out of the way, I'm going to look down and give you my introduction.
Welcome to the Swing Sets. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own Lives on the Swing Set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about Smitten Kitten Online. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store.
store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
The swinging community is growing exponentially and fighting an uphill battle in its past, its stigma, and the perception of the word itself. The word conjures keys in a bowl, the concept of wife swapping, and anonymous sex with many partners. Where traditional swinging and polyamory were two distinct relatives on either side of a continuum, this new breed is charting its own course, somewhere down the middle, refusing to follow established rules of either camp. Instead, determining exactly what type of relationship and sexuality they as individuals want to have. And as a new iteration of swingers establish their own lifestyle, many who have been on the swing set for a while are adapting their style to include more meaningful relationships and connections, along with the occasional nine-person orgy. And we call this progressive swinging. So I am Cooper, and on this awesome panel with me are...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Hey, I'm Dylan.
And I am Shira B. Katz. Hi everyone. Knows me knows that I'm nosy, neurotic, so I have questions of you guys today. So, first off, how many of you here identify as swingers? All right, we got like maybe like a fifth of the crowd. Okay, how many?
I expected more.
I know you did.
I did.
I know. How many of you guys here identify as polyamorous? Yes!
Wow.
Yes, you guys, my people.
Well played.
As you guys know, I'm the polyamorous contingent here. We're here with our muddy people that once identified as swingers. They're coming. I'm pollinating. Anyways. okay, so...
That is what the B in Shira B stands for, is B for pollinating.
Okay, so...
Well, that was not funny. I'm going to drink more wine.
Okay, so... A couple more questions. Who is here? Who here has listened to the Life on the Swing Set podcast, and that's why you're here? All right, we got a few, maybe a fifth. Who here has listened to the Pedestrian Polyamory podcast, and that's why you're here? All right, about the same. Okay.
That was just a you can win thing. Is that what that just was?
Exactly. Well, this is kind of my crew.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I'm just checking in here.
I got
okay.
You.
Oh,
listen
both.
To, hey, who listened to both? Yeah.
Okay.
That makes me feel good.
So that brings me to my point. For those of you who are not familiar with the podcast or podcast format, this is a panel. This is a discussion. We're mostly going to be bullshitting with each other. We like to swear. We hope we don't offend anyone. We're not the most politically correct crew. Again, we ask that only our lovely professor takes pictures. but to that point, let's start the conversation and figure out what does this progressive swinging stuff mean?
Well, I think the most interesting place to start is how swinging has evolved over the decades. You know, swinging was huge in the 70s, and then that thing called AIDS kind of killed it in the 80s, and then it came back in the early 90s when sex education started developing and really, really in-depth STI transmission and prevention methods were implemented. And so suddenly sex wasn't death, which it was for a while in the 80s. And so we look at this continuum of swinging, and we realize that it is easier now than it ever has been to swing, because in the past, you know, I have a couple who's been swinging for 20 years, and she tells me these stories about how they used to look in the swinging magazine, find the little article, the little personal ad they liked, send away that letter, and wait patiently for the response. I know I get impatient about on the swinging sites. After maybe 2-3 hours, once I see they've read it, I have a real problem waiting for it. But it's easier now because all you need now is an internet connection to put yourself in touch with a huge community of swingers.
So do you guys feel like because of the internet and because of all of the new forms of getting in touch with each other, do you feel like it's making swinging more progressive or changing swinging somehow?
I think, personally, I think that what it's doing is it's, in the past, when you were swinging, you would sort of develop your swinging personality based on, we like to use the vampire metaphor of siring. So your swinger sires, yeah, you become scions of the swinging couple that initiated you. And so often you take away their swinging values. So,
and in that, if you had the interest, you had to wait around to figure out a way to find that person who was going to initiate you, as opposed to being able to actively seek that out. Do a Google search and see what comes up.
And you know, when I kind of stumbled, I've said this a couple times over the last day or two, but I kind of stumbled into swinging. I didn't know any better. And he didn't really know any better either, but he did sire me. Well, his wife sired me. We weren't there yet. But
be very clear.
But we both didn't really know any better. And when we went, you know, hunting for information about it, there wasn't a lot of stuff on how to begin or how most people do it, and not really what was right and wrong, just kind of what might interest us. I mean, you know, you started out pretty much full swap, and so
yeah.
I started out full swap because he did, and I've, you know, kind
you
of sort
took
of,
on his rules,
yeah.
Because that's what you knew.
Yeah, and so but as we started finding things, and you know, the little resources that are out there, I started to realize that there were other people that were doing it a little differently. Some people didn't like to kiss. That happens. It may seem a little bit strange, but you know, some people it works for. But I started to find out other people out there that did do it the same way I did do it a little bit differently, did it a little more deeper. And that stuff, that framework wasn't really there in the past because, well, to communicate with the whole community, you had to be physically in the same area and know about each other and then get together at the same time. And while that may be harder to get together at the same time now, because we all have really busy lives because we're, you know, doing this thing, it's at least easier to communicate with communities as a whole, you know, forums, chat rooms.
Twitter.
Twitter. The amount of conversations I have on Twitter, I used to hate Twitter, but I love having conversations with people on Twitter because it's everyone. Everybody can participate, whether they're my subscriber or not. If I'm, you know, pinging somebody else, I'm on their Twitter all of a sudden because they're responding to me, and it's like, oh, let's pile on. And why is Dylan saying this? This is stupid. And, you know, and I'm okay with that. You know, I like hearing about how other people do things, and it feels like it really is kind of easier to do this now because, well.
Taking that to the progressive swinging standpoint is, having run this website since 2010, one of the things that I get most from people is we want to have the type of swinging relationship that at least myself seems to have with our swing friends. We have a swing community. We have friends, we have couples that we see regularly, and we have relationships. We see them inside and outside the bedroom, in day-to-day life and all that. So we get a lot of people asking for that resource, is how do you move into a place beyond, especially the club swingers. They look at it and it's like, we see a lot of people at clubs, and that's where we swing. We go to the club, we swing, we go home. How do we move to a date-based swinging economy,
right,
for lack of better word? And I tell them all the time that it's really hard to move from being a club swinger to a date swinger because club people tend to swing at clubs. Date people tend to swing on dates. So if you go to a club to meet someone to then go on dates with, they're probably going to be at the club that night. So you can see them again at the club, but if you want to see them elsewhere, you have to kind of rethink your mentality about where you're looking and what you're looking for specifically.
Yeah, and an interesting thing is, because you've built this community, you've built life on the swingset.com, we are able to see different kinds of demographics interacting with us. And an interesting part is we find that all of you poly people that are here,
specifically
and as we saw,
you poly people,
there's a lot more of you poly people here. And you reach out to us more often. Mm-hmm. You come and find the community more often. You band together. And what we have found is we have less swingers coming out and reaching out. We have less swingers emailing us. We have less people who identify as swingers coming and commenting. And it's interesting. And I think it says something about the community of swingers on a whole. Poly people, because I think there's maybe some stigma around the idea, there's definitely some stigma around the idea of swinging. Poly people can get a community and they band together really quickly. And we find that swinging gets there a lot slower.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have a lot of institutional baggage with not just the term, but with the lifestyle. We're you know, once we find each other, we're really open with each other, and it's pretty all good. I mean, that's the way we practice it. We don't we've chosen not to isolate ourselves from everyone else in just the club situation or just, you know, this one swinging situation. We don't talk to them at all. You know, we have friends, we have relationships with people, and it's really nice because we become real, you know, in real life friends with people. IRL guys, right? But the problem has typically been that we're used to keeping it within our community, and I've noticed that too. When I've started to reach out to other people in other communities, it was really kind of tough to do that initially for me. And I wasn't doing it through the website or the podcast or anything. It was just me. I wanted to find other people that felt differently or that just practiced non-monogamy differently.
Or open sexuality.
We talked about that, like, from the perspective of, you know, the swinger code. Like, you know, you're in real life, you're at the whatever, grocery store, and it's like, hey, you know, it's like, but that lives in a different world.
I like to give them the sting nose thing.
Just, is that what you do?
You know, the game is afoot. Just that little thing.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
It's like,
There's kind of a code sometimes. You hear a key word that somebody's talking about something, you're like, oh.
Well, when someone throws out the word lifestyle, you know something is up. And you perk exactly like that. Thank you for the demonstration, Jim.
But because of that baggage, we're not used to being out in our entire lives. Our the way we swing hasn't yet been part of our whole identity. So it's very important to me. And obviously, I've been expanding past typical swinging. But I still don't go to everybody and introduce myself as
a swinger?
As a swinger. And I don't,
I'm Dylan, and I'm here to swing with you.
Yes.
Even when you're campaigning?
Yeah. Dylan is running for swing president, by the way. So it's going to be a tough election. But since he is running unopposed, you know, because I don't want the job, that's for sure. Well, I think I do want to ask you guys, because we do have such a large poly contingent, we've found that poly people just tend to be out. Because it's entrenched in their life, being poly, with their multi relationships and with the way they put together their families, it makes more sense for them to be out so as not to arise odd questions that would arise if you're not out. So as poly people, I'm curious, how I mean, are you out to your families? Who's out to your family?
Okay,
keep your hands up. Who's out to your friends group? Okay, this is almost the entire audience here, and so this is something that we don't see as much, but are starting to see more in the swing community as swinging starts to get. You have something to say? Yes. I've heard of that. Yeah. So they were poly first.
Yeah.
And then when they began the swinging lifestyle, they found it hard to come out to their poly friends.
Of
I know Miss Shira B. Katz has strong opinions on this subject.
This makes me crazy. Okay, so we all have alternative sexuality.
Watch out, she is going off.
No, this really bothers me. So there's swinging and there's polyamory. And somehow in the polyamorous community, we have managed to pass. We say, okay, you know what? You guys, I know this is a sex-negative culture. This isn't about sex. This is about love. This is all about love. And how many of you use this very argument when explaining it to your family and your friends? It's about love, not sex. It's a thing.
So that means
that
you're not
happens.
Actually having sex with your partners,
right? That's not true. Uh-huh. That's not true. But and so I find personally, and I'm ready to represent the negative side of the poly community.
Represent,
because
Shira.
I am, you know, I don't care.
She's the hero the community deserves.
That's good.
Thank you. I like this.
Yeah.
But I see a lot of poly snark in the community. These poly snarky people, it's like, oh,
I heard that.
I'm not a swinger. I am polyamorous. This is about love. I don't have anonymous sex with strangers. This is
about
love.
And let's be clear,
love.
Very few of us have fucking anonymous sex with strangers. Very, very few of us.
And this is a big sore spot in my heart, because we're all kind of the same. Not every one of you poly motherfuckers is in love with every motherfucker that you fuck. All right? It just doesn't work out that way. You date,
that,
you
that
have
sex.
That
went to a weird place with many mothers in that fuckers.
Yeah. It's okay.
I'm just there now for a second.
But you know what? It, as opposed to your being, your kind of rage about it happening, what it does to...
It makes it harder for the swingers to come out and have a place in the non-monogamous community.
Well, it makes me feel like I have to defend myself.
From the get-go,
the community. It's like, you know, I'm actually okay being a representative of the greater swing community.
Swinger president.
The swinger president. I'm okay with it because I talk fairly well and I'm pretty outgoing. And I'm okay with having debates. I like arguing with people, and I like hearing the way other people, you know, think about things. But I don't like being put on the... Meeting somebody new, I don't like feeling like I have to be on the defensive and defend us or myself right off the bat. I'm cool with having that discussion, but the initial... It's like it, with anybody...
You don't want the word swinger to lead to... Okay, explain yourself.
Right. Well, the polyamorous side works this way, too, because everyone knows about swingers, and very few people know about polyamorous communities. Everyone's very familiar with swingers because of
the background. Well, they're very familiar with an idea of what swingers are.
Right.
There's that institutional baggage that comes with the term.
And those swingers are still really, really obviously Leisure Suit Larry, caught in 1970. That's what people see when they see swingers. I got one of these for you right here. I got one right here.
But the first thing that poly people have to do is say, no, I'm not a swinger. Mm. And then they get defensive for the rest of their poly life. And you had a question over there. Right?
It's coming back. Leisure Suit Larry this year. Coming back. Fucking A.
So the weird flip side of that is the whole idea of, if you're then that swinger who all of a sudden has deep affection for your friends, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? And so we've talked about this. Dylan and I have talked a lot about this, about the idea of kind of when we started into the community having to fence off the emotional piece. So you're like, okay, you know, we can do all this good, awesome stuff. But, you know, when we get outside, I can't hold your hand. And, you know, I can't give you a kiss when we greet. That's more affectionate than maybe I would kiss my primary partner. And so that's then that weird flip side of, okay, so I've got all this fun, sexy stuff, so I've got all that sex positive, yummy, passion, that's so good. And then what do I do with all this stuff where I want to hug you and just cuddle with you, and what do I do with that?
Well, I was over at Cooper's house, and I wanted to kind of just cuddle with somebody that I'd been intimate with, and my wife was there.
Was it me?
Not that night. Every other night, okay, but no.
I like clarification when he's telling stories.
No, but it was, my son was there, and I'd been talking to him about things, and it was nice to be able to feel okay cuddling with somebody else because I had that talk and had that framework. Mm-hmm. But it took a while to get there, and now when I meet other swingers that I don't necessarily have a long-term connection to already, I feel like there's a second level of negotiation that goes on.
Emotional negotiation.
Yeah. Is it okay for me to, you know, to talk to your wife separately? Is it okay
or text?
Yeah, the texting thing is so important.
And the thing is, I'm not just asking the husband. I apologize. That's You know, I talk to them and say, you know, how familiar is it okay to be? You know, I may not say it like that. I try to take, you know, kind of awkward questions and make it a little more sexy.
And he tries to say it. Yeah. He tries to say it in this voice. So, how familiar can I be?
But, you know, like, is it okay if, you know, can I give you a massage? Is it okay if I give you a peck on the cheek? And normally it might not be a question that you have to ask, but I feel like if I'm with a couple that does have a few more emotional barriers up, it's useful to do that so that way I don't make either of them feel, not jealous, but
just
a little
awkward.
Bit... awkward.
You'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right. And so that because of that, that, you know, that people that practice a little differently, I do need to have that second level of negotiation.
And the question then becomes, it's these trigger words, I think, in any type of relationship. You know, even if you look at monogamy, when the word relationship comes up, it has flashing lights and it's sitting there.
Marriage and babies.
And it means that. But we have relationships with everybody in our life, and relationships are... that there's ones that are this size, and there's ones that are this size, and then there's your primary partner, and then there's secondary partners. And so you have the words relationship and the word love, and both of them often create really, really large flashing warning signs for I'm going to say some of the less secure swingers.
Well, and when you go to that place, too, with... You know, you're putting it in a blender. You're putting swinging and love and relationship in this blender, and then you're like, "Oh my gosh, what is that? What are you to me? You know, what are you to me?
What am I to you,
yes.
Jim?
Yeah, exactly. It's like what you go to that place.
Let me tell you in a sonnet.
Ooh, a sonnet. Oh dear, sonnets.
It's in your bonnet. No, let's keep it. No,
go. You're done.
But it's like, what is that?
Right.
And that's kind of that place of, we've had to go to that place of, what is that? What is that? What is that swinging? Is that, where is that on the continuum? What's the word for that? What's the phrase for that?
And there really isn't anything that sits between swinging and poly. Unless you want to go with something far more generic like non-monogamy or open relationship, which carries huge baggage all by itself. The words open relationship have weird implications. Whenever we have someone talking to us on the show about open relationships, it's always got this connotation like, well, where did you get that? Why does it mean that to you?
Right. Aren't you practicing open marriage?
Right. And I think there are other things that define, you know, the progressive swinging that we're talking about now, the new age swinging, the removed from the traditional rules of closeting.
New age swinging.
New age. There might be some yoga involved, I'm not sure.
No, just like your show, we don't do that bullshit.
Yeah. Be nice.
That.
No alienating these lovely people. But there's some other things. For example, the bi-male thing in the swinging community.
It's amazing how strong, you know, and it's not nearly anymore. But 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when we started this website, it was unacceptable, period, to be a bi-male, at least in the Midwest, as a swinger. And that caused significant consternation and irritation for me, because I wanted to explore that part of me, and there just was no way for me to do that in a lifestyle that professes to be really, really open. But over the past few years, we've seen a significant shift into bi-male acceptance, and maybe it's still not nearly as talked about, but I can tell you, at any party where I have somehow said something that makes it clear I'm open, suddenly I get people sitting down like, I'm listed as straight on my profile. But I've thought about sucking a cock. It's like, okay. So first, are you thinking about sucking my cock? Because that requires other negotiation, right?
Right.
But second, that doesn't mean anything. That all that means is you want to explore that part of your sexuality on the continuum.
And
right.
And you can go to that place too, beyond just the bi male of you know, pegging and all that.
Is this seminar just to talk to Cooper about what he likes? Really? Is that what this is? No.
But but, you know, going to that place, it doesn't look like your traditional heterosexual.
Absolutely.
We're going to swap
partners. It carries
partners.
Baggage.
Absolutely.
So what he's saying is they went to a resort, and it was very clear after a few days that you don't talk about these things.
About gay,
bi.
Yeah.
These are things, and we've heard this before, these are things that if you want to do that in the privacy of your own room, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But you better not be getting head by the side of the pool there at Desire. Did I just go there? I did. I went there. It was at Desire. That does not surprise me. That does not surprise me.
Sir, swinging is between one man and one woman, and one man and one woman.
And sometimes more women.
Yes, and sometimes more women, but no.
Really, really throw as many women on that pile as you possibly can. Tristan has a question. Sorry, I called you out.
Swinging is between one man and one woman. I think the other issue here that isn't being talked about is that part of the tension between swingers and polyamorous people isn't just about how they feel about sex and love and all that stuff, but is about politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that traditional mainstream swingers tend to be really conservative.
Yeah.
And don't necessarily share my politics. So it's not simply that I don't want to fuck you because you call yourself a swinger. It's I don't want to fuck you because you're a Republican. Actually, I have fucked Republicans, and I will fuck Republicans.
Me too.
I fucked Republican Christians.
I always want swing. When I meet swingers, I always want them to be more politicized than they
sure.
are. It's like, how can you be homophobic and, you know, like, how can you be challenging this institution of monogamy, which is so deeply entrenched, which I consider to be radical? You're challenging an institution.
Absolutely.
And then you're homophobic.
Right.
Really? Like, you don't see the connections between
right.
that? So part of it is also just, I don't share, like, I feel like there has to be this movement within swinging that, like, that's why I like you calling yourself progressive swingers. Because to me, that doesn't tell me if you fall in love or don't fall in love or if that's on the table or if you have relationships. It tells me that we might share the same politics.
Right, absolutely. Right?
Is part of my libido, like, is part of what will attract me to someone.
What she's saying is that it's less about the traditional swinging stigma of keys in a bowl or whatever, sex versus love. It's more about identifying as a progressive swinger tells you more about a person's politics, more about whether or not you're willing to game up for the political game or if you're going to throw other people under the bus as a part of the open movement.
Yeah.
So, and with that said, I've had the personal experience with good friends. We've had the personal experience with good friends that they are those people. They are that very Republican, oh, I don't want any part of that, you know, piece of the puzzle. That being part of this community, of the swing community, of the open community, of just what you said, Tristan, of, wow, you're really challenging a paradigm. Yeah. You need to recognize that. That has been the crack, the open door that I've been able to just wrench open and say, okay, look at all this other stuff. And then have those discussions like, wow, where is your judgment? What does that look like? And it's really fantastic that can be the conduit, that being a part of the swing community can be a conduit for really broadening their mind to all of those connections that you're saying.
I think that speaks for the notion of the importance of the swing community.
Absolutely.
Is that the community needs to exercise their influence.
Yeah.
If you are against gay marriage, fuck off.
Yeah.
Right.
If you are against women's rights and reproductive rights, fuck off.
And more importantly, when we're talking about the swing community and being more active like this, we really need to talk about the more general non-monogamy communities. Because us being separate makes us much less effective.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the stuff earlier with the poly snark and it keeps us apart and things like that, we can't do this on our own. There just aren't enough of us. And you guys can't do it on your own. There aren't enough of you. And the more things keeping us apart, the more stupid things keeping us apart, also on our side, on our community side, the less effective we are and the less able we are to be able to be out and to actually do political things and make political change. It's really near and dear to my heart to do that.
What this glamorous fellow in the lime green hat is saying is
he is
that
glamorous.
You are glamorous. I love this. Yeah. Is that there is some connection in being oppressed as a people. And we see this in the LGBT community, right? So we got the lesbians, the gays, the trans, and, you know, sometimes the queers, I guess, and the bisexuals.
It's like the vowel. It's like Y.
Right.
It's sometimes Q.
we see them banding together. What we see a lot less often is the what we call here on the swing set the SOP movement, the swinger open polyamorous communities. They're much more segregated. And it's a bummer because it makes us a lot less effective. It makes it harder to say, you know what, non-monogamy is a valid relationship choice and a valid way to go about things when we're fighting against what it even means to be non-monogamous and whether or not one style is more valid than the other. You know?
It also makes me a little sad, not just on the political standpoint of being less effective, but I would like there to just be a community. I mean, I'm from Chicago, and there's a very nice poly community.
There's a very active poly community in Chicago.
But why is it just a poly community? Why can't we just all like get together and do stuff and be together? And you know what? If you guys don't want to sleep with me or something, that's fine. I mean, as much as I would actually consider
that's,
myself...
That's consent not to, right there, is what that is.
I would actually consider myself a practicing... polyamorous for the last 9 months. I've been trying and really putting a lot of...
Burning Man changed him.
I did, yeah. I had my first true polyamorous experience at Burning Man, and that did really widen my heart to being open to this kind of stuff. And so I can say that I really put myself in that space, but I would really love to just get together with people, everybody, and not have to worry about whether I should get together with the swingers and the swing community tonight or the polyamorous people in the poly community tonight. Why can't we all just hit up a club and take it over
right.
and have a really good time? And then,
I think I know why. I think I know why.
Oh?
I think it's because y'all are closeted swingers, and it's so much harder
that is a problem.
With the closeted folk, right?
We are in a big fucking closet. A big one.
Hey there, Swing Set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can be the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. Do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1-2 sentence review. It'll take a few minutes, but it'll help us spread the word. If you're on a mobile device and want to listen to any of our episodes on demand, search for and download Stitcher, and our entire library will be available at your fingertips. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. Cassidy.com.
Well, I totally agree. The idea that at least in your experience, swinging has been amongst white, privileged, heterosexual couples, and that the minority position is not represented or easy to break in.
There's some validity to that. There really is.
And there is certainly that. And that's that Prof and I have talked about that concept of, we call it vanilla privilege, where you're just like, we can pass. And
it's like bisexual privilege.
What? Absolutely.
What?
Right?
What are you talking about?
I just threw that out there.
What are you talking about?
Bisexual, not go there yet. Bisexuals can pass. They can be one thing or the other.
All right.
No, there really is a valid point to that. And that's, again, part of the reason why closeted swingers are, you know, I have to respect them. I have to respect their choice. But it is a problem, because it means that they're less likely to be politically active. It means they're less likely to be part of a larger community. It means they're less likely to accept people that don't subscribe, not to their lifestyles and non-monogamy, but their lifestyle, where they live, where they move, who they socialize with. I'm very, very lucky to have made a lot of good friends that transcend race, that transcend different styles of non-monogamy, that transcend weight class. I mean, I'm a bigger guy, and I don't have a problem going up or down, pretty much. It's taken a while. I'm serious.
Belt system is what you're saying?
No, I've had a long body image journey on my part, and on people that I've been intimate part. So it's there is validity to that. And honestly, I it's something I want to keep addressing, because I don't like that. I don't like that you feel like you couldn't be part of the community because of the way that people treated you, since you weren't lined up with what their expectations of somebody that'd be in the swing community is.
But at the same time, I would definitely like to say, though, that the idea that swingers are predominantly upper-class, white heterosexuals, I think is untrue as a general perspective. What I've seen in looking through even Cassidy's roster, and Cassidy is a company we do a lot of work with. It's an international dating site. You see, swinging is a microcosm. There is just as many of every single subset that I have encountered in the real world in the swinging world. You know, you're going to see percentages of every type of lifestyle, of every age, of every ethnicity, of every weight class, of everything. You're going to see that represented in the swinging lifestyle. So what's possible, though, is that you're encountering a sort of a gentrified section of it that has self-gentrified themselves. And that's part of establishing a bigger community, because we need to tell the rest of these portions of swingers, look, we're like you. We're like everybody here. We're just the same.
And one of the unfortunate things that I think that sexually progressive communities can do is they can encounter a small subsection of a community. So maybe you experienced maybe a more traditional style of swinging, and you hadn't quite gotten to the more progressive swinging just yet. But the idea is, there is a more progressive swinging out there. And if you have a bad party experience, if you have a bad experience with a few people, it's really tough to start judging everyone in the community by that bad experience, by the stigmas that you see attached. Because in every community, in the poly community, in the monogamous community, in everything, in the Christian community even, there are people who are trying to say, you know what, we're not like the fucking assholes. You can't judge an entire community by the people that you come across every time. While there is often a theme, there's always a subsection that's trying to rise up and say, you know what, we're not all assholes. And it's important not to just throw everyone under the bus, not to throw everyone who uses the word guys as a, perhaps, a term to say everyone, and just be like, I'm in the feminist fuck you camp. Fuck you, because you said
this
guys.
This sounds like something that may have happened to you yesterday.
Maybe. Okay. But the point is, there are people that are on your team, that are on your side, that may identify as a certain thing, and you have to keep an open mind, even if you encounter maybe some of a subsection that is less like you.
And I apologize on behalf of the swingers.
Somebody in the back with lovely red hair and from across the pond.
And she's got a great panic shirt on.
Yes, mentioning that she's had a very good experience across the pond with the swing community. And she will usually bring a another female date with her, to be with somebody together, another female together with her, or even have the opportunity to be with another guy. But because of things like walking around with the strap on, being awkward around here in some of her experience in San Francisco, and not being able to look for a single guy, as there's some institutional bias against single men being in parties, it's tougher, and it makes her kind of sad. And honestly, it makes me kind of sad a little bit.
I need to respond to that, because where I go with that is I wear my fucking strap on at the parties and people look at me and go, oh, wow, that's going to become more normal
right.
when more people are standing next to me wearing their strap on. So I just go to the place of you need to love what you love, do what you do, want what you want, and step up into that community. And yes, the swinger community has to meet that halfway, but that's where onus is on us as the progressive swing arm to say, yeah, this is what it looks like when you wear a strap on, and this is what it looks like when you're pegging your gentleman friend, and this is what it looks like to attend the party with two or three other women, and this is what we want, and this is what it looks like.
And this is and what swinging looks like
and
now.
And this is what right. swinging looks like now.
And when you're more progressive, you have to take it on yourself to make shit more pedestrian. You have to normalize things.
Yeah.
This is why I'm always encouraging people to come out of the closet, especially if you're normal, especially if you're Republican, especially if you have really pedestrian shit going on in your life. If you're a veterinarian and you are active in your church community, fuck it, come out. Let us know that there are people like you in the community. Make it normal. That's really what we need to do.
I feel like the term progressive swinging is kind of the second iteration or an evolution of the term, just because we want to do better. I want to do better. Mm-hmm. I know I can't make everybody yes. do better, and I know I can't change everybody's mind, but I really want to do better because I would love to have a female couple come over to one of my parties and just want to fuck another woman and walk around wearing
or
a strap on.
Another man, or two other men.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's that really does sound amazing, and I know I can allow that and make that happen, or I can allow that to happen. It makes me sad that you went to a place that it wasn't
cool.
It wasn't really cool, and so I do want to try and have us do better. So the non-closeted people should work on radicalizing the closeted people so they can use them as
I think one of the first
closet.
Things we need to do, and I understand, I'm a person who is out to my friends but not my family, because my family is old school and my family might have issues, and it's actually more my wife's family that I'm concerned about, so I'm respecting her relationship with her family and knowing the difficulty that would encounter. But I am out to every fucking one of my friends, whether they like it or not. They will know I am non-monogamous. I am happier than I've ever been in non-monogamy. And that means that relationships don't need to look like the way they looked forever in what you see in media. And that's what we need. You know, the closeting ideally will go away.
Right.
But as for now, even if you feel the need to stay closeted with some people, that's fine. That's acceptable. But be uncloseted with as many people in your life as you possibly can, because they are the ones who are going to say, yeah, I know a swinger. You know what? They're pretty cool. And they're not weird. And they're not trying to fuck my wife every day. Because that's the concern.
Right.
And that's what we have to work against, is that all we are cocks and pussies looking to connect.
And honestly, before I got here, just to take this trip to San Francisco, you'd be surprised how hard it is to make up an excuse for flying from Chicago to San Francisco when you're leaving your wife and your son behind. It's like, why aren't you taking them on vacation with you? I can't necessarily claim this as a work trip. I didn't finesse. I just said, you know what? I'm doing something. I have a project, and I don't want to tell you about it. And they pushed a little bit, and
really,
I left it
really,
at that.
That was the dangerous part. I don't want to tell
you
about
they
it.
Don't want, yeah, I mean, that could end badly in a few ways. But let's just say I've rapidly approached a decision where I feel like I am going to have to come out to my family, because my own well-being and my own emotional well-being, it's going to make sense for me. So it's something I've really had to grapple with, and I kind of just made that decision on the plane here because I didn't like to have to do
but
that.
But the lovely thing is, when you do this, it's not just going to be for you. It's going to be for the community.
Yeah.
And if you come forth as a swinger, as you make it pedestrian, as you intermingle
Shameless
with the
plug.
Rest of... As you intermingle with the rest of the non-monogamous community, you will make it stronger. You will make the swinging side stronger. And while the progressive swingers try, guys, while they try to come forward and try to be, yes, we're swinger, yes, we're here for sex, and yes, it's not fucking bad to like sex. Fuck slut shaming, seriously. But
that was another one on my list. Fuck slut shaming. Fuck it.
Fuck slut.
Up its asshole.
Fuck slut shaming. But the point is, as polyamorous people, as I saw the majority of us are, we could do really well to start accepting these people more into the community and banding together. You know, I look all the time at the LGBT community, and sometimes you, and I get really envious. I get really envious of this unity that they have. The non-monogamous community is, and I'll get to you in just a second.
And I have a response to you.
And then she has a response.
And then I have a third.
But the non-monogamous community has this to a lesser extent. We're not as unified, and as a result, we have all this fucking havoc that happens in the political games of marriage equality or custody or whatever is happening out there. As non-monogamous people, we have real, legitimate legal concerns. But when we see the marriage equality discussion out there in the media, what do we see? We see people who are combating, even in the LGBT community, even in minority subcultures, we see them saying, oh, we're, you know, this isn't going to lead to bestiality. No, if you can marry a man and a man or a woman and a woman, that doesn't mean that you're going to be able to marry a man and a dog. And then we go the other route. Even if we can marry a man and a man or a woman and a woman, that doesn't mean that a man can marry two women. We're not like those freaks. And how much does that suck? How much does it suck to be like, pushed in the corner and alienated from a subculture that so many of us are a part of? That is terrible.
President Obama's speech a couple of weeks ago about him coming out and finally saying, I feel like we should pursue gay marriage, that he believes that it's a right and it should happen. He worked in monogamous in there. And listen, I felt it was great that he finally just fucking came out and said it, because he had said it before, and then retracted that and stepped back to civil unions, and then it finally came back to, you know, to full gay marriage. But he worked that monogamous in there, and it tweaked me. It tweaked me the wrong way, and it's come up again in the last week or so with something. I forgot what came up, but there's a yearning for acceptance that you have to kind of change yourself in order to get there.
And I also want to just give credit to, I mean, going to the place of looking at the other elements of the ethically non-monogamous community and really in that place of progressive swinger saying, you know, I look to Shira and she's leading me out of my closet. Okay. And that's big stuff, and I'm all emotional now. And take that seriously. Take it seriously.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if we can band together, if we can embrace everyone in the non-monogamous community, we can be bigger. We can come together, and we can fucking make shit happen legally so we don't have to be scared for our jobs, so we don't have to be scared for our children, so we don't have to be scared, period. You know? And that said... Mm-hmm. My dear friend Cooper has some closing statements.
Closing statements.
We're trying.
One more question, though.
But we did say that we were going to get to you first. Yes. I apologize.
Well, that's a frustrating argument as well. And I mean, I think really what it comes down to is we need to... Oh, yes. The argument of poly versus swinging is similar to queer versus bi, is what you're saying. And I think we, as the aberrants... need to band together regardless of what the fuck our aberrance is.
You can make a t-shirt that says, I am the aberrant.
Because we are the minority and fuck the majority.
That was a song.
fantasy.
It is a fantasy.
Right.
Okay, so I am gonna read this last part. Forgive me again. And we'll see. I've had like six glasses of wine. So maybe we're a little bit jealous of that LGBT and sometimes Q community. They embrace the fact that they are all very different, yet share the same goals. And chief among them is a desire for acceptance, which we all have. And we in the non-monogamy community need to see this as an example to hold ourselves together, this SOP community of swinging, open, and poly. We are all so unbelievably similar in that we reject traditional notions of marriage and relationships, whether it's all about sex or all about love, and we know both of those are jokes, or somewhere in the middle, because that's where we all lie, somewhere in that continuum. So too often we marginalize each other, the way society tries very hard to marginalize all of us. And we have tremendous amounts to gain in accepting each other's non-monogamy styles and embracing that we're all just sort of feeling our way through our sexuality and our romantic lives. And grouping together, we can be strong, and we can create a movement of people more effectively revolutionizing relationships. Because if we don't stick together and speak for ourselves, no one will. Yes. So...
We'll get there.
So I want everybody here, especially those who have never been there, to come visit the Swing Set, lifeontheswingset.com. We have blogs, articles, toy reviews, and of course, Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, where we talk like this.
Yeah.
Often while drinking.
And we usually argue more. So
we argue all the time.
And pedestrian polyamory.
I was just about to talk about pedestrian polyamory. You tooted your own horn. Hosted by Shira B. Katz and her husband, Gavin.
Who's here? Everyone should go pay
there
attention to the introvert.
And just to continue a swing set tradition, that man has a gigantic
so
penis.
So bad.
So you all can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. Please do. You can follow us all on Twitter. I'm at Swingset Life, at Ginger and the Prof, at Shira B. Katz,
Dylan
and at
underscore
Dylan
swing
underscore Swingset. Don't forget the underscore like I did several times this weekend. Listener questions, we love it. If you want to send us a question via text or voicemail, it's 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. So a big, awesome thanks to my panel for actually being here in fucking person with me. And being the most awesome people in my life. All right. So thank you all. And thanks to these people for what?
Swinging by.
Thanks for swinging by.
We'll be around. Please ask us questions. Come talk to us.
Yeah.
Okay, so Life on the Swing Set is going to Desire from November 3rd through 10th of 2012. So just before the apocalypse, if you believe what you read.
Oh, you mean the election?
Yes, that one.
Yes, oh, okay.
Good, we can go out with tequila shots then.
That's
perfect.
Right.
Perfect. Right. In the sex swing. Yeah. Even better.
We're going to be doing fun party-type atmospheres. We're going to be doing a speed dating thing. We're going to have a... pole dancing lesson, some toy demonstrations. As you heard, we tend to like toy demonstrations. We'll probably have the Cooper there with you if I can smuggle it through Mexican security.
So Cooper, if people are interested in joining us at Desire, how do they find out how to get there?
Well, we're going with Char Travel, and if you listened to a few episodes back, you heard them talk about how awesome sexy vacations are, and you can email them at info@chartravel.com. Or you can give them a call at 215-321-4451. Just make sure you mention that you want to go to Desire with Life on the Swing Set.
That sounds great. So if you're interested, please contact Char Travel and we'll see you there.
Hey everyone, I'm going to talk really loud for a second just to make sure that my microphone's good. So okay, thanks.
Now can you believe the volume of my voice? Awesome. Thank you.
This is my voice on TV.
You're listening to a Swing Set podcast. Hear more at lifeonthe swingset.com.